This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. I find, you know, folks, we have more error now than I believe ever been in the land. Error on every corner. I hear things said that's just almost, it'd be funny if it wasn't so tragic what people believe now. And don't believe in the Trinity. I had a noted country music preacher wrote me and called me and said it wasn't no such a thing as a Trinity. And my goodness alive! But anyhow, we get away from that. I can't understand those folks. But we bringing you this study now, just started on the soon coming or the second coming of our blessed Lord. You know, the Lord came the first time. That's a marvelous story, the birth of our blessed Lord. Came here as a son of a, born of a child, a son of a virgin woman by the Holy Spirit, and lived there on this earth for those 33 years, 33 and a half years. And we don't know a whole lot about his early years, but we know when he was about 30 years old, he began to preach the gospel. Wasn't that grace? The Son of God. I think we just don't pay no attention to what the Lord has done for us, my friend. The God of heaven, God of all the earth, created this earth as we know it now, flung it off the tips of his fingers, every little molecule. We have these so-called professors, they think about global warming and all of those things. My friend, they don't know a thing in this world about what's going on, that the Lord is sovereign and could snuff them out in a moment. And they think they're so smart. They just think they're so smart. We used to call folks smarty pants when we was a kid. Well, they got so many smarty pants, these professors. But we're looking at this study on the second coming of our blessed Lord. We all know, if you have any knowledge at all, you know that Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, born there in Bethlehem, and to Joseph and Mary was a virgin, and called of the Lord, and Joseph was a just man, the Bible says, and then another crazy doctrine that I have people tell me that Mary never had any other children. Well, the Scripture says James was a brother of Jesus, and those things. People wonder what's the matter with people. Wonder what's wrong with people. They can't read. But listen, that's not what I'm talking about today. We're looking about the second coming. And we saw what some of the signs was of the second coming. The doctrine of the second coming is an object of hatred and ridicule on the part of many. This is the sign of his soon coming, because he says here, in the last days mockers shall come. We're living in those days now as we speak. Everywhere you turn, folks belittle, make fun, laugh at the coming of the Lord. This shows they don't know anything about the Lord. The longing of my heart, the very desire of my own heart, is to see my blessed Lord, to see the Lord who died for me. Now, I know I keep up with a lot of things, but in the obituary columns I read now where so-and-so died and gone to see Mama, gone to see Daddy, gone to see Papa, and Peter standing by the gate waiting for him. I read where one man wanted to help Peter open and close the gate. Well, the gate don't never close, my friend. But listen, I know that's foolishness, but this shows that they know nothing. The longing of my own heart, Pastor Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, is to see the Lord. And that's what I want. I don't know anything about what heaven's going to be, and you don't either. You may think you do. But we're going to go. If you know the Lord, you're going to be there. But to see the Lord that died for us, the God of all grace that went to Calvary's cross and suffered, yes, suffered. We was listening the other night to the suffering of our blessed Lord, how that he was there in Isaiah, if you want to go there and read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Listen, the Lord God of heaven who carried my sins far away, yes, far away, and left them in the tomb. And I heard someone say the other day, you know, said, I don't know how much the Lord paid, but he paid it all. He paid it all, my friend. Listen, listen. He died as my justifier. He sits in the heaven and upholds the worlds by the word of his power. Yet the one who intercedes for me day by day. And I want to see him, don't you? Don't that whet your appetite, my friend? You know, this world has, the Lord has given us lots of pleasure and comfort here and things that we do. The Lord has given me a long life and a happy life, my family, my dear wife and myself. And we've had many heartaches and trials, but we've never suffered for Christ's sake. No, we never suffered like the old martyrs did there in the early days. I have a book here in the bookstore named Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you'd write me and get it, it'll just bless your heart. Along this line, that you would see how other folks suffered for the Lord. I know many of you are familiar with John Bunyan's writings, but John Bunyan had a blind daughter, and she got lost there in London during the plagues, when they had those plagues there. And it's a marvelous story how the Lord protected her. And then they had a story there of another woman who used to hide the preachers and the religious people there in her barn or wherever, and they caught her, and they put her out on the street and drove a stake down in the street and tied her to it and built a fire around her. Those things are described, and it's the truth. It's the truth, my friend. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You write me, call me, I'll quote you a price on it. But let's get back to our study. We're looking there at the Lord who carried my sins afar away. And I look for his coming. I do. I may not show it. You may not think I do. I pray for his coming. And according to the word, every individual who is saved looks for him. Listen to Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I thought about that verse. It said, them that look for him shall he appear. If you're not looking for him, listen, the individual who's not looking for Christ, who does not long for his coming, is not saved. Now, that's a bold statement. I know that. That individual who explains away, minimizes, belittles the second coming of Christ is not saved, doesn't know anything about the Lord, and needs our prayers, my friend. Let's pray for those folks. Would you do that? Would you help me? I have lost loved ones, don't you? You write me and call me. We have a prayer list here, a prayer group that we sit down and pray and come together on a weekly basis and pray and name names and call names. Listen, then again, the Word of God says in Matthew 24, therefore, be ye also ready. Oh, my friend. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour that ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Now, isn't that enlightening? In the hour that you think not. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? That's a question. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Listen again to God's word, Luke 21. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, a lot of that going on today, isn't it, my friend? We living in a drunken world today. Listen, lest at any time your heart be overcharged or overcome with surfeiting, that means riotous living, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that they come unaware. Oh, my friend, unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch you therefore and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Listen, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, don't you like that? Little children, that's what we are. We're the apple of his eye. We're his children. He says we are. He says, let the children come unto me. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The greatest thing in the world is to know the Lord and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Let me read that again. The greatest thing in the world is to know the Lord and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Have you ever been delivered, my friend? Salvation, the word salvation, literally means deliverance. Have you ever been delivered? I know, the old Trailblazer knows that I have a vast audience by the amount of mail I get, amount of comments I receive, and I know that some of you out there, maybe not saved at this time, would you ask the Lord to show you your heart? Maybe you're steeped in religion. Maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you're a piano player or a song leader. Maybe you're just a religious professor. But would you ask the Lord? Are you afraid to ask the Lord? I ask my congregation here, oftentimes, go in the bathroom and look in that big old mirror there and open your eyes and say, am I saved? Am I saved? Did you know you'll get an answer back? You'll get an answer, my friend. I have lots of truckers out there on the highway, over the road trucker drivers. And I asked them, I said, next time you go down the road and pull in there to get a cup of coffee and some hot coffee and some pancakes or something, look in that big old mirror when you get down off the side of that tractor, whether it be a Peterbilt or a KW, it doesn't matter. Look in that big old mirror. Old Trailblazer sees you folks. I have some who write me. And look in that mirror and say, am I saved? If I don't get back home tonight hauling this hazmat, where will I spend eternity? Are you afraid to do that, trucker? You say, well, old Trailblazer, I won't listen to you. You're crazy. Well, let me be crazy for Christ's sake, my friend. I know in my heart that eternity is coming close. We're nearing the sun, the coming of our blessed Lord. From all indications, we're not going to be here long. And my soul is vexed for my folks, my family, my children, my grandchildren, my congregation, my radio listeners, my skeptics, those who won't have nothing to do with me, those who criticize me, those who email me a snotty mail, those folks, I'm burdened for them. Oh, my friend, I am. I'm burdened for them because I know when your eyes close in death, eternity will seal you. You're not no more hope, my friend. No more hope. Can you imagine what it would be to be no hope? Oh, I visited folks in the hospital right on their dying pillar. And they said, don't worry, Pat, Beam Trailblazer. I'm all right. I made my peace with Jesus. Oh, my friend, I hope. Would you sit down and write me and tell me you're listening, where you're listening from, and tell me that you're praying for me. Would you do that? And then help me with the broadcast just a little. Lady asked me the other day, said, you mean it takes money to bring these broadcasts, Pastor? Yes, sir. My mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Thank you.